Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Devol Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Welcome to the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the brighter side of recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, and so glad that you are here with us, joining us on the Brighter Side of Recovery. And I do want to remind you of our 6 to 7 and 7 to 8 shows, completely different shows, but it's all about the brighter side of life right here on 1590 KVTA. And welcome, ladies. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you, Kim?
Good. Sherry?
I'm fantastic.
All right.
Great to have you here with us, Sherry.
I love being here.
Yeah, what's going on in your life, Sherry? We get to check in with you every couple weeks.
There are a few things. A little later in the show, I'm going to give you a website. I'm going to be holding an interview with this amazing master named Kenji, and he's going to teach us all about meditation.
Yeah, I saw that a little bit on Facebook. Okay.
So I'll talk a little bit about that, and been doing a lot of canoeing. Went canoeing two times last week.
Uh-huh. Now, does a rough current affect the canoeing in the ocean?
Yes, it all affects it. High swells, all that stuff.
So you go out in the open waters. You don't just stay in the bay.
Open waters, baby.
Wow.
What they did last week, which
so
was
with
quite,
the waves, like,
oh yeah,
crashing
it,
over you.
Oh, it, you, then it's like surfing. But last week they did what we call
it's like
a hooli.
Surfing?
It is. It's like surfing. Only you're in the middle of the ocean. You're farther out. But they did a thing called a hooli where they didn't tell me that we were going to turn the canoe over. So I just had my hair blow dried. And all of a sudden, they're like,
hooli
time.
That would be a disaster, really.
I know, really. And that was it. We're in the water, and we have to sort of like deal with emergency cases. Because, you know, you really have to think that this is a water sport, but it also there are some safety issues.
But so, you actually did your testing, and so you were good to go?
I was great. And I don't know. You know, for someone who has a little bit of anxiety at times, this stuff just does not make me anxious. I am a fish, okay? I am a
That's
fish.
That's amazing.
I am a fish.
Yeah, you really
I
are.
I gotta go on your boat, Kim.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, in fact, it's funny because my husband just sent me a picture and he bought. That's really good, huh? He caught a yellowtail, right?
Was it
a
yellowtail? I actually saw a picture of it.
Yeah.
Are you gonna eat it? Prepare it?
I think so. I'm not, but he will. But.
So this is gonna sound really crazy because I can't, like, yellowtail is not ahi tuna.
Correct.
Okay.
Right?
Yellowtail is a different fish than a tuna.
Sherry is looking
But it is a part of it. Like, it's a...
Sherry?
I think so, yeah. But maybe they're more of a battle fish. I think that they're great game fish, I think.
Yeah.
I hear there's some issues with tuna.
Like right now, there's a lot of mercury.
So be careful with your sushi.
Yeah, a little mercury does.
Doesn't scare you.
Okay. That's what my husband said. Since we had a last night at sushi, okay, you know, I know, but anyways.
Dolphins are loaded with mercury.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm certainly hoping you don't eat dolphins.
Actually, I think you can eat dolphins.
Oh, I think I'll pass. I think I'll pass.
Little wasabi.
Anyways, I do want to remind you that you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by SOBA and Recovery Center in Malibu and Ventura. And
we're everywhere. We also have SOBA Texas, where we're on a ranch.
There you go.
And we're growing like crazy. And we're also known as the community. You know, we have a lot of people that live together and they stay sober together and they socialize together, and that's what often keeps them sober is having each other.
It's like their support team.
They're a family.
And that's it. That's
awesome. They are the SOBA family.
There you go. That's great. Well, I do want to remind anybody that you can keep up with us on Facebook and on Twitter. And, of course, our website is KimPaganoShow.com. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. Today, we have some amazing guests. We are going to be talking with Alan McDougall. And we're going to talk about breaking through discoveries of the riches within. Also, we're going to talk with Dr. Joseph Dowinsky about Almost Alcoholic. What is Almost Alcoholic?
I think we had, yeah. That's a very controversial subject, so I'm really excited about meeting with
you. Yeah, but before we do that, Tom, do you want to talk about all of our giveaways? And, of course, here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, we love to give back to our listeners. So, again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. All you have to do is leave us your name and your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. Tom?
We have excellent restaurants as always. Paul Martin's, Lure Fish House, BJ's Restaurant, Famous Dave's Barbecue, Lazy Dog Cafe, and Midtown Cafe. Certificates to all of those. The Ventura County Fair is moving along. Has another full week of action. Great concerts. A lot of fun at the fair. Kim has tickets for that. We have the educational program. We heard about this earlier. West Side Story, presented by the Rubicon Theater Company. What a musical this is, with a lot of dancing. Along with that, Laugh Out Loud Comedy, Paseo Camarillo Cinemas, presenting that August 19th. We will be at the Wings over Camarillo. We want you to get there, too, with free tickets. The air show is happening August 22nd and 23rd. In Thousand Oaks, we have the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Two big shows. Chris Isaac, August 13th, September 25th. How about the Beach Boys?
Ooh, there you go. All right. Thank you so much, Tom. All right. Let's start off our show. And how about a pair of tickets to the Ventura County Fair? It's going on today. And who's going to be playing tonight?
Leanne Rimes. I'm so excited to see her there tonight.
There you go. And that is going to continue all the way to the 16th. It is a county fair with Ocean Air. Definitely get out there. Call us right now at 419-0008, 419-0008. And again, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Alan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and thanks for the invitation.
You are so welcome. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what we're going to be talking about.
Well, what we're going to be talking about today is my experience. What happened, what it was like back then, what the pivotal change was in my life, and how good life can get today.
There you go. There you go. And in your book, you write that your alcoholism was a way of dealing with self-loathing. What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, alcoholism was a magic answer because I grew up in a situation both in my family and in my community where I was a target, and there wasn't any safe place. Let's put it that way. There wasn't any safe place for me to be to escape some stuff in my life, like at home and or at school. And so I struggled with that. I had a terrible speech impediment. I was small in stature. I did not excel in sports or academia. But at the age of 12, 13, living on the farm, I experienced one afternoon waiting for a load of hay to come into the barn. I had a chance to drink 3 beer very quickly, and that was the magic answer that I've been looking for all my life. I never forgot that feeling, and I continued hunting for that feeling till the age of 37.
Hi, Alan. This is Sherry. You really bring up an important subject. A lot of times, often behind addiction is trauma. And so what I'm hearing you talk about is a lot of bullying, a lot of feeling different, not being a part of. And so maybe you can speak to that a little bit, because, you know, we always often talk about which came first, the chicken or the egg. But I see so often that behind addiction, and it could be any addiction, anything that, you know, keeps you from being present, anything that distracts you, you know, what is your thinking about that? Because so many alcoholic addicts, people struggling with negative habits, et cetera, have a history of trauma.
Absolutely. And I'm 100%. I didn't know any of this 28 years ago, but I've learned it. And I always say today that drinking was not my problem. Drinking was a solution to my problems. The behavior of my drinking was negative, but I never drank for pleasure. I drank strictly for effect, to help me get through the days when I had self-loathing, low self-esteem, if any. And it was just like a coping. It was a real coping tool I had picked up.
And of course, the other is having the gene of addiction. Was it in your family?
Absolutely. And with the statistics today, the 17 million people possibly dying in North America with alcoholism every year, I'm sure it affects just about every family or their neighbors or in their community. They know someone. They know someone.
So you did have it in your family?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not in my household, but in the aunts and uncles, yes.
Oh, okay. Not
and
in
alcoholism any. is an addiction that is, before it becomes a problem, is socially acceptable, which makes it so much harder to, I would think, sort of stay out of that area of addiction.
Well, in some areas, you know, it is, they think it's social drinking, but really they've crossed the line into alcoholism. So when did you cross the line into alcoholism? Although some say you're born with the gene, you were an alcoholic when you were born. But the question is, when did it become where your life was spinning out of control?
It was slowly spinning out of control. It was a 20-year trip. And I started drinking seriously at the age of 16, 17. And then I became a miner. I worked up in a mine. I worked underground. What a wonderful opportunity to move away from the watchful eye of my parents and work in a mine with all young men with the same demons chasing them. So to answer your question, it was a progressive trip, downhill spiral. At the age of 33, 4 years before I quit, I knew I was in very serious trouble. However, every time I knew I had to quit, I would do the opposite and go back out and drink to forget that.
Wow. And now let me ask you a question, just coming from the mom side of it. Did your parents ever say, hey, you know what, Alan, this is not a road you want to go. Be careful. We've got this in our family. Did they ever put you on warning, or did that make you say, you know, oh, well, I'm doing it anyways?
Well, I moved away from the home from my parents at the age of 18, so there wasn't that much of a sign. I kept it hidden in all of it. This was back in 1968, so it was a different world then with the acceptance of alcohol. But then when I got into my serious problem later on, whenever I would go down home to visit my parents, I would try to mask it as much as I could. They talked about it, they spoke of it, but never... I don't think they knew what to do.
Right.
I love this idea. Well, I don't love this idea, but I know you bring up a point. I was reading some of your book and your outline about how to talk to someone who is an alcoholic or addict. You said that sometimes people feel uncomfortable. It's hard to believe in 2015 that people still feel uncomfortable talking to someone that struggles with, or actually is in recovery or not. So how? What are some tips you could give someone who doesn't know how to approach that subject?
Well, I think that there's a couple of variables there, it, just in that statement alone, that it's very difficult to talk to someone who has a substance abuse issue if they're emotionally connected. The more the tighter the connection, the more difficult it is. And but there's one thing I learned in my recovery and the job I do is that it's very difficult to do, but you have to learn to love the person but hate the disease.
Oh, I love that.
And then once that, but listen, that's not an overnight thing. Like, you have to kind of, you know, just work into that. And the other thing I learned when I was in a residential program, I was 37 when I went in, and they told me that I was, my emotions were probably 12, 13 years old, because when I started to drink for effect, my emotions stopped growing and developing. So here I am, a man of 37, and acting out like a 12-year-old.
What's kept you sober? Oh, so go ahead, Jennifer.
No, I've heard that before. Do you think if someone told that to you about your own personality, do you think that that was true about yourself?
Like a developmental
delay?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The day that I left the rehab, the day that I graduated, the director said, and it was my actual physical birthday, I was 38, and I said, it's my birthday today, and she said, how old do you think you are? and I wanted to impress her, of course, and I said, 13. And she said, you think very highly of yourself.
That's funny. So you actually started younger than 13?
So she said, you think very highly. So that was a great dose of humility and honesty to say, wow, I got a lot of work to do.
Wow,
and
that's
so
great.
So when I look at the word alcoholism, the last three letters of the word alcoholism is I, S, and M. So the problem wasn't the alcohol. The problem was in the ism. I, self, and me.
That's interesting. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We're talking with Alan. Is it McDougall?
It's McDougall, yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking about really breaking through, discovering the riches within. Can you stay with us for a second? We need to take a really quick break.
Yes.
Okay, great. I do want to do a couple shout-outs. We've got the Chowder Fest today, and that's all the local restaurants will compete with the best chowder.
Yeah.
And it's a... basically over at the Channel Islands Maritime Museum, and it's from 4 to 8:30, and then they have a movie after that, 9 o'clock.
An
it starts
outdoor movie.
Yeah, and you could go over there. They've got some really great. Lots of restaurants are all being involved and stuff. We would love to give some tickets away right now, and that number is 805-419-0008. Also, I'd love to give a pair of tickets away to Wings Over Camarillo Air Show. And that is August 22nd and 23rd. And it's a great day. And it starts at 9. And I would love to share some tickets. Again, our phone number is 805-419-0008.
And I wanted to give a shout out to Dr. David Villarreal, the biodental healing. He does an amazing job of doing holistic dental work in your mouth, which is so important. Those fillings stay in there for a very long time, so you want to make sure there's nothing in there that is going to mess up your mouth or give you any side effects later on. So give him a call if you want to take those old fillings out or get some new work done. He is at 805-375-2233, and that's Dr. David, and he has a very different approach to dental work, and I think you'll really like it.
There you go. Stay with us. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe, protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park, schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery. You want to do a little shout-out?
Absolutely. So Sober Recovery Center in Malibu in Texas. We have one in Calabasas, all over the place. Thousand Oaks. The staff at the Sober Recovery Center is fully devoted to ridding one from addiction, substance abuse, drug or alcohol dependency, and relapse. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. One of the modalities they use is meditation. They have meditation and they have yoga, and they have all those modern ways besides 12 steps, although they also include the 12-step program in the treatment. And I want to remind people to go to wakeuprecovery.com/Kenji, K-E-N-J-I / That's wakeuprecovery.com/Kenji/, and learn a little bit more about meditation.
There you go. All right. Of course, we'd love to give away here on the Kim Pagano Show, the Brighter Side of Recovery. And we've got a pair of tickets to West Side Story that is over at the Rubicon Theater. And that is going to be going on till the 15th. And give us a call right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And all you have to do is leave us your name and your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. We're talking with Alan McDougall right now, and we're talking about breaking through. And Alan, in your book, I really appreciate you, sharing your story. And what are we going to find in your book? What are some of the things that, you talk about the psychic shift. What is that?
The psychic shift, the best way I can put that into very short-term definition is the change from within yourself when you go from childish to childlike. And or to change that up a little bit from being self-centered to other-centered.
So, Alan, explain to us, this is Jennifer, in the conversation when I was going through your book that you had with your mother when you called her, and that I thought that was very interesting, that because you are definitely not childlike in that conversation. You definitely boundaries, and you made her step up to the plate as well. Tell us how that had such an effect on you.
Well, it had such an effect on me that because I had been on the other end of conversation with her since I was a very young child. She was telling me what to do and how to do it, and a lot of anger issues. And so I was actually in the program about 5 years, and I received a voicemail from her one day, and she, it was like she had guilt upon layers of guilt in the message. Do I have a son? He never calls me, per me. So I sat for a while and thought about that message, and I said, well, it's time to stop being the victim and be a victor, because that's a choice that I had that day. So I meditated, and I thought about it, wrote down a few ideas, and I called her, and I said, Mom, this is Alan, and this is a conversation that's going to happen. I have control of it's my phone call, so here are the parameters. And I told them what they were. There was no interrupting, and I would continue speaking in a very calm manner, but very with a lot of direction. and how I wanted our relationship to be in the future as a mother and son. And I said, then you, Mom, can think about what I said and call me back, collect or call me back, and then I will not interrupt you.
So what was it about recovery that allowed you to make this have this conversation with her, to be so direct and assertive?
I had enough self-respect. Mm-hmm. See, people love me more than I ever loved myself in the beginning. And finally gaining back self-respect and knowing that I was a person of value, that I was a person with a problem, not a problem person. Once I got rid of the problem and could focus on what the potential in my life could be, then I started having self-love and self-respect. And I said, okay, if I have this, then I'm going to tell the woman, my mother in this case, that I feared so much, I'm going to tell her this because I owe it to myself and I owe it to her.
Now, I always have the belief to never give up on an addict or alcoholic, always have compassion for them. And of course, when you say hate the disease, I understand exactly what you're talking about. I was married to an alcoholic. But, you know, what is the bottom line when someone just needs to let go and stop maybe supporting the alcoholic? Although I really don't think you ever give up supporting them as long as they show some desire to change.
Well, supporting them could also be like letting them, I'm thinking, letting them hit that rock bottom. You're still there, but you're going to let them get to that
Absolutely,
point so
Jennifer.
That they want to get recovery themselves, because you can't wish them into recovery.
That is a great point. It's reaching their bottom.
Yeah, and they have to want it on their own, because as family members and you see all the family members that have tried everything possible, and they're like, I don't understand. You keep hurting yourself. You keep, you know, doing the same thing over. Why? It's because, like you just said, it is an illness, and we cannot take it upon ourselves to be in your shoes and make those decisions for you. But I love that you, there's a fine line when you're dealing with family, and there's something about your parents who, I don't care how old you get, they still want to be your parents. And so where do you I don't even know if you would, and please help me, everybody that's listening in the studio with us, where do you say to your parents, wait a minute, I have my own brains and I'm going to have my own decision. I love you as my mom or my dad, right? But this is my own opinion.
I think you have to do like you did, Alan. You have to, I think we probably all have friends that have very clear boundaries with maybe family members that take too much and don't give anything back, or from parents who put those guilt trips on you, who are always needing something. And I think the people who are probably the best in those relationships are the ones who have boundaries and
have recovery.
Yes.
Well, what happened to me was I also wrote letters to my father over a period of a year and a half where I told him how much I respected and loved him as a little boy, because we didn't have we didn't display that in the home, and how I wrote the letters was not a normal way of writing. I printed them with my opposite hand that I normally use for communication, to be able to write with my feelings, not with my
intellect. Oh, how interesting.
My intellect. And that's the way that I wrote that book. I recorded on tape every word of my book, because I wanted to express the feelings onto the paper of that book.
So I don't know if you answered the question we all started talking, but about the loving the alcoholic but not loving them to death. I mean, where do you set the limit?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that limit is set on an individual basis. I have so many parents and brothers call me and say, you know, my son is moving back home and my daughter's back home and they're 37 years old, and we support him, and then he goes out and gets a bit of money, and we get him an apartment, and then they set him up for failure. And I say, well, there's that old saying, you love them to death, and if you're not careful, that's exactly what's going to happen. So I think it's an individual decision that the families have to reach. It's easy for me to sit here on the phone and say, this is what I did, but it's such a personal choice, and there's so many variables in each family that is very difficult. But that's why I'm hoping that people will go to my website and email me, and I certainly get back on email or write me, and I would certainly love to have that interaction.
Yeah, right. Well, I love that.
I have a question, Alan. Do you have children of your own?
I do. I have three children, two girls and a boy, and I am the anchor in the family.
Really? Good for you.
And how were you honest about your struggles with alcoholism as they were growing up to keep them from making the same mistakes?
Absolutely. I was not the anchor in the family, needless to say, when I was living in the problem. But when I turned that around to living in the solution, I took them with me to counseling. I took them to open meetings of Alcoholic Anonymous. I told them how much I loved them. And I was a much better father not living at the house with them sober than I ever was living at the house with them under the influence.
Wow.
And for you?
I know earlier, too, which I think is real important, is to discuss the isms. You know, I think there are certain personality characteristics of someone who is an addict or alcoholic, so we don't have a lot of time left. But what would you say are the isms?
The isms is the inventory that is the baggage that I brought with me from my childhood, my jadedness, my bias, my self-esteem or lack thereof. That's the isms, and I carry that into control issues. I wanted to control everything, and everything had to be perfect. I didn't want to portray that I had any weakness out there. See, when I was drinking, I was a very functioning alcoholic. I was a minor. I made terrific money. I had a home. I had an income property, and from the outside looking in, I was a very successful man, but from the inside out, I was dying. That's the definition of the isms.
So were you sort of what they would coin a functional alcoholic, although I don't like that word at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. I went to work every day. I worked hard. I was sick every day when I went to work until I discovered the magic of drinking in the morning before going to work.
You were controlling it, huh? In your own way.
Yeah. God, I love it. Alan, where do we find your book?
You find my book on my website, which is www.ampublicspeaking.com. That's www.ampublicspeaking.com. And it's also available in Barnes & Noble in North America. And it's also available on Amazon, Nook, and Kindle.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate you being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And
Thank you, Alan.
Could share our show with all of your, people and fans and everybody that you help, we would love to, keep growing.
And where will you be speaking? Anywhere soon that we can find you?
I am speaking in Florida coming up in September, and I have a couple of speaking engagements. If you go to my website, those speaking engagements will be posted every month.
Great.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much.
And,
I appreciate
and
it.
And just the last thing, if I may take 30 seconds if I have it. One, the book is on sale, but people are for limited time on my website, so that's one thing.
Okay.
But people always ask me for a little takeaway. So I guess the takeaway for me to everybody listening is, how am I going to do this or how am I going to do that? And if you look at the word how, you break down the H is for the word honesty to ask for help. The O is for openness to new ideas because your ideas aren't working. And the W is for the willingness to try them on a daily basis.
Very good. Thank you so much, Alan.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Joseph Nowinski and his book, Almost Alcoholic. I think we're talking about alcohol today, right?
Mm.
And again, you've tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to do a shout out. Don't forget to purchase your tickets to the Sunset Dinner. That is Eagles Tribute Band and Fleetwood Mac Tribute Band over at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. That's Friday, August 21st from 5 to 10. We'd love you to go over there and get tickets, and it's a great night. So, do you want to do a shout-out really
quick? I want to do a shout-out for Surfaces located here in Oxnard. If you are redoing your kitchen or your outside or any area that requires natural stone or a slab of granite, definitely go and check them out. They have beautiful selections to choose from, and they also have designers on site to help you. Choosing any kind of tile or granite or backsplashes can be so overwhelming. And if you have even ventured into these stores, you know what I'm talking about. Go to Surfaces USA. They will definitely help you out. They'll create a beautiful palette for you to choose from. And they're located right here in Oxnard. Check out their website, surfacesusa.com. Oxnard and have one of their associates help you or give them a call at 805-604-1568.
All right. And I want to do another little giveaway for the Ventura County Fair. And that is obviously going on now till the 16th. Call us right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com and check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
DeVoe Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here. I do want to tell you that our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. That is the number to get in touch with us, to call in, to win, to find out if there's any of our guests that you need to be in touch with. We want to hear from you. We get tons of calls. Don't ever be afraid to reach out to us. And again, that phone number is 805-419-0008. If you have an event or a business that you would like to really share on our show, we would love to hear from you. You can use that number, or you can also email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. You can listen to all of our shows on our Facebook and on our website, and also on
your smartphone, on your podcast. You can download the Kim Pagano Show and you can take us wherever you go.
When does it go live? It's live too on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then the podcasts are today.
Yeah, we're live
today.
Right. And then an hour later, it goes on to our podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's what I meant to ask.
Yeah.
The podcast.
Yeah. So, anyways, we are so glad that you are rejoining us here. I do want to remind you of our 6 to 8 show. Those are two completely different shows. 6 to 7 and 7 to 8. Start your day in a positive way. And our next guest is Dr. Joseph Nowinski. And I think we had you on with your other book, and now, of course, that we liked you so much, we wanted to bring you back, and this is Almost Alcoholic. Dr. Joseph Nowinski, are you there?
Hi, great to be back. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And tell us, for anybody that maybe wasn't listening to our last show, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I've been involved in research and treatment for substance use disorders for actually about 30 years now, I guess. And I was very fortunate to be involved in a major, largest research project ever conducted, and compared three treatments, one of which was my own that I devised, which was called 12-step facilitation. And it was the first time that a 12-step approach was compared to two others, like cognitive behavioral therapy and motivational enhancement therapy. And people were very curious as to what would happen, because there hadn't been a lot of research. And as it turned out, that 12-step facilitation worked. And it actually worked about 10% better than the cognitive behavioral and motivational enhancement treatments. And this was for people, though, who had severe alcohol substance use disorders. And I think what we're talking about tonight are people who have problems that aren't in the severe category, but something less than that.
I think this is an amazing subject. When I think of almost alcoholic, my thinking is, as a licensed clinical social worker, is the difference really between alcohol abuse and actual alcoholism. Would you say that that's a fair statement?
Yes, but even going further than that, the new diagnostic scheme, that's the way we, like yourself and clinical psychologists, for a long time thought about it. There's only two categories, which was dependence and abuse, which are really pretty close, to be honest with you. So the diagnostic criteria were pretty close to being, you know, having abuse or dependence. And you have to meet those criteria to qualify for treatment.
So are you saying alcohol or almost alcoholic goes below abuse, in your opinion?
Yes, indeed.
Okay,
yes,
so indeed. I would love the criteria for that. That would be awesome. I'm going to make this kind of an exciting half an hour, because this is a really passionate topic for me and for all of us here.
Right. Well, the new diagnostic scheme, instead of having just sort of like pretty much normal, then abuse and dependence, looks at alcohol or any substance abuse, you know, any marijuana, anything, from kind of what you'd call low-risk use. And there are definitions from that based on research. That is 7 drinks a week for women and 14 for men. That's what's considered low-risk. You know, as we move into legalization of things like marijuana, I guess we're going to have to take a look at what's low-risk use there. And then it goes all the way, not just to two other categories, but it goes on a spectrum from, you know, mild to moderate to severe. And there's no, you know, it's not like these are demarcated by sharp lines, you know, sharp lead lines. They kind of blend into one another. So if you look at, you know, it's basically based on what kind of effects the substance abuse, say we're talking about alcohol, have on you, and you know what is your level of use and how is it affecting you, and it can go from, you know, you can have low risk drinking, or you can sort of have one foot, if you will, into the mild alcohol use disorder part of the spectrum.
So you're saying low risk use is in the DSM?
Yes, low risk, you know, low risk drinking is there, and it goes all, well, actually they talk about the three clinical categories, but the National Institute talks about low-risk drinking, and we need to look at that too, because that's what you call normal, you know, social drinking. That's a, yeah, you know, so that's a person, a woman who comes home and has a glass of wine a night. That doesn't mean she's an alcoholic or.
But that's 7. If you did that, a glass of wine a night, you said earlier that that's 7 drinks
a week, right?
A week for women and 14 for men. And a lot of people are kind of shocked about that. They say, well, I drink more than that. And that's true, because we live in a culture that promotes drinking.
Because of the socialness, even, right?
So you mean you're getting your 7, maybe out of 3 nights, you're drinking more than 1 glass of wine?
Yes, yeah, 7
as
a week.
As opposed to 1 glass of wine every night.
I don't think it matters. I think he's saying that you're considered low risk at 7 drinks.
It's 7 drinks. Yeah, okay.
Low risk.
Right, it does. 7 drinks a week. However, you have to be, you know, nothing got to be aware of is the research on cancer risk. And the reason that is 7 for women as opposed to 14 for men is not because of their body weight or anything like that. It's because of the way their bodies metabolize the alcohol. Alcohol has a carcinogen in it. Okay, it's metabolized into a known carcinogen, and if you drink 1 glass of wine a night, your body will metabolize that. But if you say you have 4 on Friday and 3 on Saturday, then it's going to be harder for a woman's body to metabolize that. And research shows that the more a woman drinks, frankly, the higher is her risk for some forms of cancer as compared to men.
I mean, I just read an article that drinking amongst professional women is growing at, you know, leaps and bounds, you know, or higher income women that are making more money, and there's a lot of reasons. Right.
More
stress,
pressure, yeah.
More pressure. I mean, this is really scary stuff. I think what you have to say is really important, and people need to hear this. But I think it's also going to, people are going to go into a lot of denial around this.
Right, and if you're a woman, you know, if you're a woman, period, professional, you need to be aware of that. And yes, you're right. I think professional women, you know, there's a lot of stress on professional women in the workplace. And if they also happen to have a family or children, it's like double or triple the stress. And so it's, you know, and it's easier in our culture to say, well, you know, let's have a couple drinks at night to unwind. And certainly that's promoted in our culture, and it's been going on for generations.
No, you know, and it's interesting because there are times where people say, you know, just one glass of red wine is good for your health.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you're saying that it's really not in if you consume too much. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry. I'm here with Jennifer, Tom. And, of course, we're talking with Dr. Joseph Nowinski. We're talking about almost alcoholic. And, you know, what's interesting to me is how common is it for alcoholics to go on binge drinking? Is that, you know, I mean, what could you be kind of clean for a while and then all of a sudden you just, you know, can't take it anymore?
That's binge drinking. That's definitely binge drinking.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things I want to say. One, if you read the research and it says that one glass of wine is good for your health, that's true. And, you know, but a lot of people don't drink the one glass of wine.
Yeah.
They drink two or three, or they wait and they drink it all on the weekend. And what happens to people is that, you know, nobody wakes up in the morning and say, I'm going to have a mild or moderate drinking problem. It just they sort of like gradually move into that. And the critical thing for these people and these women to be aware of is to connect the dots between gradually increasing their alcohol use and its effects on them. And those effects can be subtle at first, and they don't connect it to drinking. It could be a weight gain. It could be a change in their complexion. It could be change in their sleeping patterns. They don't sleep as well. They wake up and they don't feel refreshed. They feel tired. These are very subtle symptoms. It doesn't mean they're alcoholic, but these are subtle symptoms of, you know, going from, you know, kind of low-risk drinking into the mild, you know, alcohol use area.
Right. And Dr. Nowinski, can I ask you, why did you write this book?
What's that?
Why did you write this book?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. I wrote this book because, you know, most of my career has been devising treatment programs for people who are what you would call traditionally alcoholics, you know, severe substance use disorders. But one of the things we discovered in the research that for years was interesting to me was the fact that people who had less severe problems benefited from treatment. And so that was a launching pad for me, frankly, when an editor from Harvard talked to me. And I jumped on the opportunity because I said, you know, there are solutions for people. There are a lot of people out there who are not alcoholics. But they are experiencing some negative effects from drinking, and there are solutions for them that are short of abstinence. You know, if you're an alcoholic, then abstinence is your solution. But for other people, there are solutions for moving, you know, if you want, you know, when you say like kind of moving backward or backtracking toward low-risk drinking. But the key is to recognize that there are some symptoms that you're experiencing, either in terms of your work performance, your relationships, your energy level, your weight, et cetera, that are connected to your drinking.
That's really important stuff. I want to know, would you send someone to a meeting with low risk? I think we might have to talk about this after the break.
Yeah, you know what, Dr. Nowinski, can you stay on with us? We need to take a really quick break.
Sure.
Okay, great. We're going to talk when we come back of when does it come to that time where you would actually say you need to go to a meeting, you need to go get help, you know, and I think that would be a really interesting topic. Stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And did you want to do a shout out?
I do. I want to do a shout out for MJ at Thermal Imaging of SoCal. I just wanted to let everybody know if you're experiencing anything going on and you don't quite know what it is, maybe with digestion, you've got a toothache, but the dentist can't find it, check out Thermal Imaging of SoCal. It's a non-invasive screening technique that is done with a camera, an x-ray of your face, and it can tell tons of things about your digestion, your liver, what's going on inside. Maybe the doctor can't tell without doing an extensive blood workup. This image can tell you exactly what's going on and maybe the ways to fix it with, or at least start to change it with different foods and changing your diet. So definitely give thermal imaging a call at 310-463-2318 and talk to MJ, and she will definitely help you out with any problems that might be going on.
There you go. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart?
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. Call us today and mention the Kim Pagano Show and get 10% off your order. 805-604-1568. That's 805-604-1568. Or visit us online at surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA. We'll help you make your dream home a reality.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to do another give out, and I've got August 19th, Paseo Camarillo Cinema presents Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night featuring Jason Love. I'm telling you, he's got great shows, and I've got a couple pairs of tickets for you. Give us a call right now at 805-419-0008. That was good. 805-419-0008 is the number. All you have to do is leave us your name and your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. I do want to remind you of our shows every Saturday morning from 6 to 8, and then again from 6 to 7 and 7 to 8. And we are all about the brighter side of life. Are we at the end of our show? We have about couple minutes left here.
I'd love for him to talk about the effects that people really should be looking at when it's time to go to a meeting, because I know if you walk into a meeting and you say, oh, I just have one glass of wine a night, they're going to look at you like, why are you at this meeting? So please, if you could talk about that, Dr. Nowinski.
I agree with Sherry, because I'm a little confused as well.
Yeah, Dr. Nowinski, we have a couple minutes left. Could you just highlight on that?
Sure. Well, right. One drink a night is not a reason to go. The reason to go to a meeting or to check into rehab is because you've tried to control your drinking or stop it and haven't succeeded, and you're having pretty significant effects, bad job performance, physical problems, legal problems, whatever, and you just can't seem to control it or stop. That's when you need to walk into it.
Right.
But Almost Alcoholic is for those people who aren't at that point. And the first half of the book helps people assess exactly how drinking may have been affecting them. It could be affecting your stamina, your health. It could be affecting your relationships or your family life or your job performance. But it's not at that point where you need rehab.
So what are you suggesting for the almost alcoholic? That's where I think you're going to get a lot of flack, Dr. Nowinski. What are you recommending for the almost alcoholic if you're saying?
Well, there are solutions. There are a lot of solutions that are in the second half of the book that we found through research help these people who are not alcoholic. They don't have to go to meetings or rehab. They can begin to change their lifestyle. They can begin to learn to cope with difficult emotions like stress or loneliness in more productive ways. There are a lot of solutions that are available for these people, and that's what the second half of the book is. It helps them to back off, if you will.
Back out of that
almost alcoholic zone, back toward, low-risk drinking before they risk becoming dependent.
Is this what you mean by changing your rituals and your routines?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, because a lot of these people will have a ritual. They'll come home and they'll look forward to that first glass of wine. But then what happens is it becomes 2 and 3 and 4. And then they don't connect the dots between that and not sleeping well, waking up in the middle of the night feeling tired all the time. So this book helps them, to decide, how is alcohol affecting me? Maybe I don't have to abstain. Maybe there are some solutions available for me to sort of back up into the low-risk drinking zone. And, there are a lot of people there, and they really don't need rehab. They are not at the point where they need to consider abstinence. And I know that's controversial, but there are a lot of people who really...
You know what I love about this conversation is it's really for the people that... It's just a reminder. It's a reminder. It's almost like, you might be going down the wrong road. And this is just something that
it's like
really
a pre intervention.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you've got stuff going on in your life and you're like, I just need a drink right now. That's
Dr. Joseph Nowinski, we are out of time. Thank you so much for becoming on our show. Again, almost alcoholic. We got to end our show. And of course, I'm going to end it with a moment of happiness. Happiness is found when you stop comparing yourself to the other people. And I really just want to say, find your own way and really make it a good one. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Stay with us later, and we'll come back.